The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ben Domenech is one of our go-to voices. We quote his work frequently here on the Mike Gallagher Show. He's co-founder and publisher of The Federalist. He's the host of the Federalist Radio Hour. And there was a concept or a topic, rather, that was covered on the Federalist Radio Hour that I couldn't wait to talk to Ben about. Ben, welcome back to the Mike Gallagher Show. I was really nervous. We had a hard time tracking you down. I thought, if Ben Domenech is ghosting us, I'm in trouble because we really need your wisdom today. How you been?
I'm doing well, and no, I'm not in any way ghosting you. I just I have a 6-month-old, and occasionally that means, and I don't know if you've gone through this yourself, but
yes, sir.
It does give you that kind of fuzzy-headed, what's on the schedule sort of thing.
I know. Oh, I know. Where am I? What day is it? What's on the – and listen, I got 4 of them. Here, I don't want to – I want to break the news to you with your beautiful baby. They'll never go away. I got 4 of them, 4 adult children, and they're – it's just like – it's no different from when they were – they're little babies. It doesn't change. They're always there.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible news. Thank you for letting me know.
I know. Well, just brace yourself. Just hang in there, because you and your wife are beautiful parents, and I love your story, and I just want to warn you. It doesn't matter that one of them. I got one in the 40. They'll never go away. They never go away, which is a blessing and a curse. All right, Ben. Let's get down to business, because I swear I think we are in Looneyville. Vaccine passports, the coronavirus variants. We had the CDC director literally break down and emotionally say she's scared and she's waiting for impending doom. And yet she also confirms that getting vaccinated means, well, once you get vaccinated, she said, you don't carry the virus, you don't get sick. She said that's not just in clinical trials, but in real-world data. Before we get to the very real issue of big tech and corporate America and vaccine passports, which you guys covered brilliantly on the Federalist Radio Hour, let's talk about a question that Tucker Carlson asks almost every night. If you get vaccinated and you're fully vaccinated, like I am, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine 15, 16 days ago, why do we have to keep wearing masks, Ben?
You know, it really is you said that we're kind of through the looking glass in Looneyville, and I really feel like we are. I mean, it's really disappointing to me to see time and again the government really come to the conclusion that telling people the truth is a mistake, right, and that we have to lie to them in all of these different polite fictions in order to get them to behave the way that we want them to behave. And that's something that, frankly, they've been doing throughout this process. And right, it's something that we've heard time and again from Dr. Fauci and from Joe Biden and from others. But really, it's disappointing to me, because I think that it treats the American people as if they are a bunch of children who can't be told the truth. And in this case, every time I see one of these politicians on screen, and I know that they've been vaccinated, I know that Nancy Pelosi has been vaccinated, the idea that she needs to continue to wear a mask is ridiculous, you know, and the fact is that they are living this out in front of us in ways that are designed to increase the kind of docility of the American people to say, you know, you really can't be told, you can't be trusted with the truth about the way these things work. And frankly, that's just something that is insulting on its face. And I think that we should reject as being the kind of falsehood that it is.
And, you know, for anybody who doubts what you said about the process of being untruthful, admittedly, they admitted it. Fauci later admitted, and even the Surgeon General, as I recall, admitted that they were not truthful about the efficacy of masks, because they didn't want a run on face masks by the general public and would deprive healthcare workers of. And I remember saying on the radio when this thing began, I can go on Amazon and find a mask. How am I hurting a healthcare worker if I'm buying a bag of masks at Amazon.com? Are you kidding? But they did. They lied. Then they admitted they lied, Ben. And yet, you talk about the corrupt media. Why didn't the media flip out when it was confirmed that they were being untruthful with us?
It is so destructive to see a media that is so monopartisan. Right. That is completely biased toward one side, and the way that they've sort of treated this entire thing, it has unfortunately been something that I think has driven the type of trust that we can have in American institutions, including the media, even lower. And I know that you and I both care deeply about the fact that these institutions are broken, that they've been broken for a long time, but that we know that as Americans, we want to be able to have trust in them. We want to be able to have faith in them. We want to view them as being in favor of the American idea. And unfortunately, we really have reached a point where these institutions are so broken, are so biased, are so out of touch with the way that the actual American people live, that frankly, they are no longer interested in trying to have our success as a national project. And I think that, you know, one of the really revealing elements of this for me during the Trump era was when we saw the way that they treated the sister of Kim Jong-un, the North Korean, you know, sort of woman who was looking side-eyed at Mike Pence. And NBC News and several other, you know, media entities that were covering it at the time were you know, just hailing her as if she was kind of something that they could use against Mike Pence in that instance because they hate him so much. And to me, I was shocked. I was shocked because it seemed like a new level of bias against the American idea. And I think, unfortunately, that we have to understand how much there is a negative effect of this, where if you don't have basic questions being asked of our government officials in the rare instances that they actually will take those questions, then the American people really don't know what's going on. And we can't have any faith that we know what's going on because, you know, as you saw in terms of the treatment of the border, you know, if you had had a Republican administration preventing media entities from accessing these facilities, just saying flat out, this is a blackout, we're not letting you in, you would have had high dudgeon from every corner of the media. But this time around, they're fine with it. They really are fine with it. And they're happy to just sort of go along and be, you know, this is something that we can't do because of coronavirus concerns. That's laughable, of course, on its face. But this is the type of thing that I think we're going to have to deal with and continue to question as we see this Biden-Harris administration treat the media as the useful partners that they are, as opposed to the entities that are supposed to keep politicians off.
It's absolutely stunning, Ben. I mean, to watch Biden's first and only so far one-on-one press conference and see a taxpayer-funded reporter stand up and talk about how wonderful he was with his compassion, Yamiche Alcindor, that question, and that whole press conference, I hate to break it down this way, but I was sick to my stomach when I compare the screaming jackals of the Trump era and how they would shriek and scream and yell and badger. That was the Trump press conferences. This one, it was him calling on it out of his index cards, the names, and they would dutifully, you know, "Dear Mr. President, you're so wonderful. You're so calm. You're so loving." And I mean, it was unbelievable, Ben. And I now listen. Yeah. There's a part of me that kind of welcomes the calm too. I mean, listen, we had 4 years of hysteria and agitation. I get it. I appreciate that this was calmer. But you're right. These are reporters. These are journalists who should be. I mean, right now, you talk about lying. The big lie is that Georgia election officials want people to die of dehydration when they vote, when they're standing in line and they can't get off work in time. they're perpetuating a lie about these Georgia election laws. The media regurgitates it. Now all these big corporations are threatening to bail and boycott Georgia. The Washington Post, Ben Domenech, gave Biden four Pinocchios for repeating a bald-faced lie about this Georgia election law.
Well, and Mike, the thing about that Georgia election law is it's not even that strong. You know, it's
right.
to be honest, this is kind of indication that I think conservatives should take a lesson from, which is they're going to take any kind of policy, any kind of proposal that you have when it comes to increasing the security of our elections, which I think we can all agree is something that we should, value and that we need to be able to have faith in, when you're talking about broken institutions. And the problem is that, even if you do something that is meant to be a centrist, reasonable proposal, they are going to depict it as the new Jim Crow. You have the president of the United States, encouraging places to reconsider, their work in Georgia, including, calling for the All-Star game to move and things like that. And, frankly, this is just not a situation where we can have any kind of faith in the media as an institution to report accurately about any of this. They have completely bought in to the absolutely abhorrent critical race theory approach to viewing American life. And with that kind of frame, everything is racist. Everything is bigoted. Everything that you dislike becomes this abhorrent, abuse that can be compared to the worst discrimination in American history. And that's something that I think that they are going to continue to do. And we have to have a number of leaders who are willing to and ready to stand up and argue against that without any qualms about being called racist, because that's what they're going to keep doing.
Ben, I want to close because I admire you so much. And every day I have listeners who say to me, Mike, what do? We can't accept this. We shouldn't tolerate this. What do? My answer is always a few things. First of all, we don't turn to violence or anarchy like a lot of radical leftists do, but we've got to be engaged. You got to become an activist. You have to get involved. You got to volunteer at your local Republican headquarters. You got to make sure that you are fighting within the boundaries of the system. But what's your answer to somebody who says, hey, Ben, what can I do to try to change the direction of this country? What do American citizens do right now?
Well, I think your answer is a good one, and I would build on it by saying, one of the things that we can find as a virtue throughout American history is people who are not willing to be pushed around, people who are not willing to be told what to do and respond to it dutifully. I think you have to have that kind of revolutionary spirit in your heart, and they can't root it out. When you have it, You are somebody who can stand up and take on these institutions, these leftists, in ways that will infuriate and frustrate them. Now, there will be consequences for this, and they will be negative. And they will be people who try to destroy you because you have that kind of courage. But I think that we have to live that out in every way that we can, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our friendships, and in our relationships. And I think that is the most powerful thing that you can do in this moment, is to take that in your heart, to accept it as being a part of the obligation that you have as an American, and to model it for, we start out talking about our kids, model it for your family, for your friends, and for your children. And I think that is something that everyone has to find in their own life, the different ways that they can do it. The power of someone who stands up and rejects this is going to be enormous. It's going to have negative ramifications for you, but it is also going to be something that has enormous power in terms of directing the course of the nation in ways that you won't even be able to anticipate.
And it will lead, and you will be proud of being able to have that courage and that kind of fortitude. Ben Domenech, thank you so much for taking the time. We're all so happy for you and Megan and little Lady Liberty. Hope you enjoy your first Easter with your baby. And thank you. Blessings for many, many years to come. And thanks for taking time out of your very busy schedule to chat with us and our listeners here on the Mike Gallagher Show.
Great to be with you, Mike. Thanks so much.